when I say myself. I keep saying say. There's some song. Say. How many times am I going to say? So. Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 276 of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast for the week of February 3rd, 2016. I am your host, Mark Cusinez, and y'all can find me on Twitter and all the usual places at PXSausage. And I already know what y'all are going to be either thinking or saying after you hear what I'm about to say, and that's, what? Again? Will you just pick something already? And that's what y'all will be saying and thinking. I am going back to the format of breaking the show into segments, essentially, just because I know that while I like various things like anime and video games, comics, movies, TVs, etc., not everyone cares about all of them. And especially comes to anime, manga, and then everything else, kind of. So I'm going to continue splitting them up, breaking them off, having their little kind of break sound clips, their own little intros, too, that are related to whatever it is. And I will also be putting in the show notes on the actual site on pixelatedsausage.com the timestamp for each segment. I won't be going in for each topic like I did for a brief period, because that's just ridiculous and time-consuming and super annoying. But yeah, that would be a Patreon thing. It's like, oh, I've reached this amount of money, I will actually go in and timestamp everything. But yeah, I'm doing that for the benefit of y'all. Hopefully y'all enjoy it the way it is, and hopefully y'all enjoy the little new bumpers I have for each segment. I wanted to do that so it wasn't just Insult Ninja all the time. Today's very anime orientated because I finally decided to get my butt in gear and just drive, plow through all these shows that I've one fallen behind on. So that's what today's mostly about. It isn't too much of the new winter shows, but fall shows that have continued on into the winter season. So I'll talk about those when I get to that part. And then I also have some indie games on today's show and the bittersweet end of Galavant, which ended and it's gone. So yeah, I don't really have anything other to say here, nothing off topic-y. I have nothing interesting. My life was rather boring this past week. Or I just can't really remember things. And I'm kind of really, really tired today. It was a long day yesterday. And then today, I just finished exercising, so I'm just kind of beat. And I know that the dentist is coming tomorrow, so I'm like, oh my god, that's going to be terrible. I have finally gotten back into the anime ocean, and I forgot my life preserver, but I have finally caught up with all of the series that were ongoing that I was watching, so that's pretty much what I'm going to talk about on today's show. I did start one of the new shows of the winter season, Erased, because that was kind of the one that excited me the most, so I thought, I guess I'll start with that. But before I get to that little show, and I hope you all enjoyed the new intro, which I'm testing out. That was just a smattering of some of my favorite songs from various anime. I'm trying to remember how it goes now. We have the intro to Amagi Brilliant Park, transitioning into the OP for Norigami Arogato, then it moves on to, what did it go to? Was it then Cowboy Bebop? I think there might be something in between there. But it ends then with one of the scenes from The Devil Was a Part-Timer where a guy gets like a ricochet and hit in the face. But yeah, I'm sure y'all are so excited about that little bit of news information. But here we go. So I'm all caught up now with Utoware Rumano, The False Faces. I hate that word so much because pronunciation can be a bit difficult for we American imbeciles. But when they get really long, it just becomes even more taxing on the noggin. But this is the anime I always describe as, it's the one that has a giant pigeon-like thing on the picture. It's that one. You see the poster? You see the one with that giant bird? That's this one. And I'm still really liking it. And the last episode, episode 17, did finally kind of open up the story a bit more and give us actual information. So there's kind of something to latch onto. But even so, it's still a very plotless show, as far as I'm concerned. I don't understand what the real story of it all is and what it's going to be, even despite the information we were given in the last episode. But at the same time, I still really like it, and I think that's a way you can look at it as a negative, but it's also positive in that while there's no real plot that is grabbing me, the show itself, specifically the characters, they are all good enough that I enjoy each and every episode for the most part, and I don't really care that I'm not really getting a satisfying overarching story. And a lot of it is thanks to Haku, the main character, who I just find really refreshing and just delightful in his whatever blasé attitude, his uncaringness, his kind of just willingness to go along with anything. And there's this emotionless aspect to him where he's just very, very, not stoic, but he doesn't really wear his heart on his sleeve. Or, I mean, he can get excited about, I think, food or some things, but for the most part, he's very blank-faced. And he's willing to go along with anything crazy. He doesn't get kind of, things don't freak him out. He doesn't get too, like, he doesn't get all worked up over much of anything. He might get worked up over having to actually work, but other than that, he's just a fairly calm and cool dude, and I like that. And in part because I can relate to him in ways, but he's a fantastic character. I also really like Kuan, the main animal girl. She's nice, but I feel like she wasn't used as much in the latest episodes. But I'm still really liking the show despite the whole plot problems. And the one thing I will say about it is that there is fan service in the show, but I feel like for the most part, it is much more geared towards women than men. I feel like there are a lot more men taking off all their clothes and just showing off their incredible biceps and triceps and pectorals and all this stuff. So if you want that, that's there for you. And in the 16th episode, which was kind of a throwaway, just like whatever episode, there were some incredibly suggestive yaoi, gay elements to it all, boy love or whatever you want to call it, where the crazy mage science type of guy with the makeup and all that stuff, just after getting a few drinks in him, went right after the little boy of the bunch. And they didn't show it, but I'm pretty sure he kissed him multiple times. And I can't remember, but I feel like there was some naked front-to-butt action. I don't think there was any penetration, but I think there was, like, contact. Maybe. I don't know. There was a lot of crazy stuff going on. And they were all drunk. And then the women kind of went in there because they wanted to refill their drinks and their food or whatever, and they're just like, what is going on? They're just flapping their ding-dongs all over the place, and Haku was doing this thing with, like, a plate, where he's, like, moving it really fast, and, like, you're not supposed to see his Wang Chung tonight or any night when he's doing that, but he was not doing it fast enough, and they're like, I could see it, and I don't know. It's a fun show. I think when all is said and done, maybe the whole story will wrap up and it'll be like, oh man, that was really good. But I think it's going to be a show that I end up enjoying, because I have been enjoying since the first episode, but I won't really be able to remember anything about the story or be able to draw on anything from the past. I won't be able to be like, oh it was awesome when so-and-so happened. But I still like it. Then there is, of course, Mr. Osomatsu, otherwise known as Osomatsu-san. And I love this show. It still holds true. I'd say that it's basically the Family Guy of anime, except it's much better. It's really well done. In one of the latest episodes, they did a parody for about half of the episode, or maybe a third of it, a good chunk of it, just completely parodying Mad Max Fury Road, and it's hilarious. And I really love it too when they change up the art style, which they did with the first episode of this second half of the season, and then they did it again when they returned to their like idol versions. And that was in the Mad Max one, where it was all about lubricant and not water, and then they just ended up using the lubricant to completely shower all the brothers in lubricant. This very pink. It's hilarious, and it's very adult humor. It's not for kids. I mean, some of the things are more gaggy and can be for kids, but some of the things might make you want to gag, and you shouldn't let any kids watch it. But I really enjoy it. It's just super fun. It plays a lot with so many different tropes and so many things, and the art could probably turn some people away because it is very rudimentary and throws back to an older day. But I love it, and I especially love the fact that they have that very kind of old-fashioned art with these incredibly bright, vibrant pastel colors. And the new OP is fantastic. I love that. I will say that the times when I don't like the show are when they get really, really quick with their bits. Like in particular the Jewish Shimatsu episode, where it was his festival, and it had like 1 minute segments, and maybe even ones that were less than a minute, and it was just jumping between all these different things, and it was driving me nuts. I'd prefer it when they break off the show in like two or three segments, and there's some kind of story. It's not really a story-based show, but I like it when they at least focus on a gag for more than just a minute or two, because I just feel like most gags they don't work that well when they're broken down to such a short time period. Not time period, just a short time span. And I also I don't know what to feel about with the Dayan character. He sometimes gets really annoying, but I don't know. There's really something endearing about always hearing "Dayo, Dayo," but it can get really annoying. Just like it was probably annoying when I did that two times in a row for y'all. Dayo. And then I caught up with Shin Atashinchi, which is I think it might be based, or this might actually be the second season of an earlier thing that nobody watched. Nobody's really watching this. And it's weird because it's very visually not appealing. And I don't want to say it's not appealing. It's just very, very simple. It feels like a Sunday cartoon in the papers. And that's a lot of, I mean, it feels like that artistically, and also just the way the stories are handled, the types of stories they have. It's a very slice of life show, if y'all don't remember when I've talked about in the past. But it just follows his family, and it's fun. It's a cute, sweet little show that I think anyone who likes slice of life and likes simple things and likes to watch anime that really just takes something from regular life, something that you could relate to, and puts it in this format. I know some people complain that it's too long, and I can see that. It is a bit long for what it's doing, since it does feel a lot like a short comic. But I still enjoy it, and it's easy to get through, and it's something you can kind of half pay attention to. So if you want to multitask, it's a good show for that as well. The only times I really don't like the show are when they follow the story of the father, which they don't really do that often. It's usually much more based around the kids and the mother. But when the father is at this like bar that he goes to and he's eating and drinking, everything they talk about in those segments, they just feel like utter nonsense. It's like the most worthless thing on the show. Because for the most part, the show doesn't really have anything deep to say, but whenever the father's talking about things, it's just like, well, this is, what is the point of any of this? And he always has the worst things to say. You should never take advice from the father, because he's an idiot. He always says the worst things, and I don't know if he's joking or not. He's just like, oh, when you see a woman walking a duck, you should be like, is that your son? It's like, what? Why? No. Don't ever say that. Even the characters are like, Dad, you should never say that. And then I caught up, this is the last one I caught up with, Brave Beats, and I was questioning whether or not I should catch up with it, just because I don't know if this is going to be an ongoing, like, ongoing show. And I don't like it, really, but I'm watching it because it's just so ridiculous. It's this show about dancing. One of the characters is named Breaking, who's a robot from another planet and a super dance megastar. Then you have Hibiki and Kotone. But they always get in dance battles, and then they collect these discs and these power stones, the dance stones, and they have an alligator who's like in every episode that just is chasing cops and doing stuff for no real reason. It's just ridiculous. They had an episode, I don't know if I talked about it when I saw it, but they had an episode where Santa Claus, the real Santa Claus, was in it, and then he got a dancing stone and became this buff version of Santa and just went crazy, and it was ridiculous, and I like the show only because it's so ridiculous and I don't really need to pay attention. The dancing's the worst part too, when they get into the 3D modeling and all that. The animation sucks, the visuals suck, the dances suck. So that's the part when I really just churn off my brain and don't pay attention. And if I'm multitasking with it, I don't even watch that part because that's the worst part. But it's like, think of it this way. It's Mega Man, but with dancing. Instead of collecting powers and fighting robots, these two kids sometimes fight robots, but they also fight other things that have these dance stones, and then they collect these new dances, like breakdancing, or like the Funky Chicken. I think that was one of the more recent ones, where Chicken and Kotone, they merged, and then she was blasting her dance rays around and turned a cat into a chicken, and that's not cool, because cats are way better than chickens, but that show is just crazy. And then on to the new shows. One is not exactly a new show. It's technically being called a second season, I think, which I don't understand why. I think it's actually just a continuation, the second part of the first season. But I'm not sure. Anyway, it's Gate and So the JSDF Fought Their Fire Dragon Arc. Which, I love that title. It's also Gate, Jietai Konochi Night Kaku Tatakari. But it started off a bit slow, and it's sort of doing the same thing that season one did, where it started slow and then it just progressively got better and better. So I'm enjoying it more and more. I'm all caught up with it, and yeah, I'm trying to think between the first season and the second season that maybe the second season is a bit more weighty, a bit more like emotional and serious. They're still hilarious. I don't know if anything was hilarious, but there's still funny elements to it, but it does feel like there's a lot more weight to it all, and there have been some moments where it's like, oh, shit. But I'm still enjoying it. It's a quality show. I enjoy the visuals of it a lot. And the main dude, Tommy, I like him. He's a nice guy. He's a guy I'd like to go hang out with and just chat with. He's a cool dude. And then the thing I didn't realize until recently, and I don't know how this just went over my head the whole time, but the main princess girl of the show, she's called, because her name is, so they call her this, but her name is Pina Colada. Pina Colada. I don't get it. I think this is based on a manga, and I'm just wondering what the inside joke is as to why she's called Pina Colada. I don't think any of the other characters are named after drinks or anything like that, so why is she named Pina Colada? I don't know. I don't know if it was a name that, like, the people from Japan gave to her. They're like, oh, you're like a pina colada. I just want to drink you up. I don't know. I don't remember any of that. So that's just kind of weird. And then Erased, which I just watched the first two episodes so far, and I'm really liking it. I saw on my anime list it's at number 11, so I think people are a bit ahead of themselves. I think you should wait to get that crazy with the show, or the weight of reviews for current ongoing shows should be kind of halted a bit, but people are loving it, and I can see why. It's a really good show. It's very pretty, and the thing I like about it is that it is one of the more adult shows out there. There's not really any fan service. It's very interesting. There could be issues with kind of just spoilers, I'll just say that ahead, but going back in time and doing these things, there could be things that come up later on that just don't make sense, because anytime you get time travel into the story, then you really have to pay close attention to what you're doing. You have to be very, very precise and just get all your facts straight when you're creating something like that. I mean, you look at Charlotte, which just kind of went completely off the rails and went that was just a disaster. But I'm liking it. It's got some heaviness to it, and I'm very, very interested to see where it goes from here. I'm excited about it. It almost visually too reminds me a bit of, I forget the name of the creator, but the guy who did like Garden of Water? That's not it. It's my like favorite, from a visual standpoint, one of my favorite full movie anime. What the hell? Why can't I think of it? The Garden of Words. That. And he also did the 50 centimeters per second. Is that what it's called? And then other stuff that I can't think of. The City Wind. I'm losing it right now, but it sort of reminds me of that in terms of style, but nowhere near as good as something like The Garden of Words, which is maybe still my favorite from a visual standpoint, even though it doesn't have the color range or all that kind of stuff that other shows do, but I love it. But yeah, I'm excited about Erased. It's a very interesting story where this character, this guy, Satoru, he can go back in time, sort of, between 1 and 5 minutes. It's not really going back in time, it's sort of deja vu, where he's walking or he's doing whatever he's doing, and then there's sort of this, like, flash, and he goes back in time and is reliving the same moment, you know, not that long back, not that far back, and something will be different. It's usually something bad is going to happen, and he has a chance to prevent it. Doesn't always manage to do it, but he tries to always do it. And then in the first episode, spoilers, just sort of another reminder, his mother, who came back after he got in an accident saving a child thanks to his ability, which he calls reviving or something along those lines, he is hit by a car, And his mother comes back to look after him. She ends up getting stabbed and dies. I was like, I don't know why I was struggling to find the word dies, but she died. And then the cops are there, and they think he did it, probably. So he's running away, and then he kind of has another flash, and then finds himself somewhere that he knows it's familiar, but he's not exactly sure where it is. And then he finds out that he went back 18 years, and back to 1988, and it's before this young girl, who no one really talked to, was kidnapped and then found dead later on. So he's thinking that maybe he had to go this far back in order to prevent his mother from being killed. Because usually, you know, when his reviving happens, it's to prevent something bad from happening, potentially. So it's interesting. I like it. And it's the mind of a 29-year-old in a, whatever, 10-year-old's body, 11-year-old's body. I can't add. Don't ask me to add. But I'm digging it. It's pretty good. Pretty good stuff there. So I'm back with just a wee bit more anime to talk about. I did finish the other two episodes of Erased, which it's a really, really good show. It is an incredibly strong start for the show. And if it finishes as well as it started, it will be an early contender for best anime of 2016. It is that good so far. I love the look of it, and I really love the story and how deep and weighty it feels. It is not a funny show. Don't go into it looking for comedy. There are a few funny moments, particularly when, I'm forgetting his name now, but when the character who went back in time, he says something out loud, something that he wasn't planning or didn't want to say out loud, and he's like, oh, crap, I said that out loud. Or it could be amusing a bit when he has sort of these romantic feelings for the girl, and he's like, what is wrong with you? You're a 29-year-old man. You should not be feeling embarrassed about that. But for the most part, it's a very serious story, and the last episode was kind of not surprising, but it's just sort of like, yep, let's see where the show goes from here. So it could get very interesting and very, very good after this point, or it could kind of fall apart. So we're in like the danger zone. The danger zone! I don't know what that was. But I also watched a few more winter shows, some new ones. Konosuba, God's Blessing on This Wonderful World, otherwise known as Konosubarashi Sekai ni Shukufuku wo. And I kind of dig the show. I'll say first and foremost, the art is a bit on the average side. The style and the colors are fine, and the visuals are good. They're not great. They're not as sharp as I would maybe like. But the problem I find is that the animation is a bit lacking. It's a bit stiff and not as fluid as I would expect, especially from something that has a decent amount of action in it. Whenever action is going on, it's like, oh man, it's not great. The most fluid animation in any of the action scenes were when this character Darkness, who's a female knight, she can't hit anything at all, but she can take a beating. She stands guard and is protecting this guy who has fallen. And these cabbages, which attack the village, because that's what cabbages do in this world, her boobs start jiggling. And it's like, oh, that's fluid. You put time and effort into that. I was going to say you didn't, but then I was like, oh, am I trying to say dick? No. So the animation is just a bit not so hot. But the basic premise of the show, and what it kind of reminds me of, is the world God only knows. If instead of the world that we know, Earth, being the one that is under duress, it is another parallel world where this character must go and save. But also, he didn't just accidentally sign on to this bond with a demon. He was killed. And the thing about the show is that it's very, very silly. I mean, Cabbage Monsters and all this stuff. I mean, all these characters have flaws too. So if you're looking for something that is silly and is kind of this play on the whole neat character, N-E-E-T, being thrown into a game world and then having to fix everything. But it's not a game world, it's a parallel universe, essentially. Kazuma is that character's name. He dies after he is on his way home after picking up a limited edition of some video game he was looking forward to, and he thinks his truck is about to hit this girl, so he's like, no, I'm going to go protect her, and he pushes her out of the way, but it wasn't a truck, it was a tractor, and he finds out from Aqua, this demon, devil, angel, I don't know, she has to be an angel, no, she's a goddess, that's what she is, she's a goddess, because she likes to remind people of that fact, though nobody really believes her. He dies, and she tells him that he didn't die from a tractor. He didn't get run over protecting the girl, and that if he didn't jump in there, she wouldn't have died either. The tractor would have stopped. He died from shock, from trying to protect the girl from a tractor. He felt so stupid that he died of shock, and that all the doctors and surgeons were laughing to him as he had a heart attack at the hospital, and even his family, when they saw him finally, they were all laughing at his dead body or whatever at the hospital. So it's not a serious show in any way. It also has some gross fan service-y elements that I really don't like. Specifically, the camera angles will just have like a girl bent over and her butt's right in like half of the frame. And I'm like, we don't need that. It bothers me because I kind of like the show in a lot of ways, but I hate it whenever that happens, or like the boobs jiggling when that. Because that character, Darkness, is also a masochist and gets sexually aroused whenever she's punished or treated poorly. Which is great. There's also Megumin, who is this mage who only cares about explosion magic, and therefore she only uses that. And she, after using her big explosive spell, is completely spent and can no longer use any magic during that day, and can potentially be so worn out that she can't even move any of her limbs or whatnot. So she's pretty useless. All these characters are useless in their own way. The reason why Kazume is there is because after he died, Aqua gave him this proposition. He could either be reincarnated in his world, but he'd have to go through all that. You know, he'd have to be born again and go through all the young things, you know, like being a baby and then growing up and all that. Or he could go to heaven, but she really plays heaven out to be this shithole, and she likes to really make note of the fact that there's no sex in heaven. No sex in heaven. No. He could still have all his memories and get one special power, like one special bit of equipment or special power, and go to this other parallel world to help them defeat this demon lord. And he chooses that, and then he ends up choosing, because Aqua's being such a biatch, he picks her as the one thing he will take with him. And that is accepted, and now she's stuck with him. And it could be fun. I just hope the fan service-y bits aren't as... I don't have any faith in that happening, though, but I would like it if those were diminished a bit. But it's a fun little show. Then the last one I did watch was Showa Genroku Rakugo Shinju, which is a very interesting anime and something that is definitely not for everyone. It is a very, very niche show. The first episode is also 47 minutes long. That's not how long every episode is, but just know that if you do want to check it out. But the thing about it is that it is about Rakugo, which is essentially, one person telling a story. So it's, these spoken stories, where it's a lot like audiobooks, a good audiobook, where one person is telling a story and encapsulates each and every character, gives them their own personality, doesn't just read it stately. And there's a lot of dialogue and a lot of speaking on the show. It's really just a rakugo that has a visual element to it that is shown, that you get to see something at least. And I really like it. I'm interested to see what the story of these characters in this world are, including the stories they tell. So if you like if you like rakugo, if you like hearing these stories told, then it's definitely worth checking out. It's something that you really need to watch, though, because unless you speak the language, you have to really pay attention, because it's not a visually stimulating show. It is not a show that you can just kind of half pay attention to, because it is all dialogue driven, really. But if that at all sounds interesting, it's worth checking out. Both of these shows are on Crunchyroll, and that's it. I'm done. I'm truly done. And then last, I want to hit some manga. I just want to talk a bit more about Inside Mari, otherwise known as Boku wa Mari no Naka. I've read through chapter 24, and I said it was boring before, but I don't want to say that about it. It's a slow read. It's a very, very grounded story in that there's nothing fantastical about it other than the whole switching bodies things. Not switching body, just him inhabiting inhabiting Mari's body. But I find it pretty interesting. It's definitely not for kids. It's an adult story. For a good chunk of it, they did not show any nudity or anything like that, but then that stopped as soon as Mari, her body was starting to go through dealing with her period. So Isao had to deal with that, and then it got visual. And it wasn't visual in a fan service-y type of way of being like, oh, look at all this. It's much more like, this is life. This is what it's like for a young woman of this age. And I kind of like it. My one problem is that I really, really don't like Yori. I don't like her. I think she's annoying. The way she's just so judgmental and being a stalker herself in her own ways. And is not nice, isn't pleasant, is very demanding and trying to be controlling. And I don't like her. Things might change, but from what I've seen of her so far, I don't like her, and she bugs me. But it's interesting to see the way this character, Isao, is dealing with being in Mari's body and dealing with her, the difference that a man and a woman have from just a physical standpoint. And also, she was just kissed by this boy, and that was this new sensation, and just this, it's like, you can see that there's a point, I think, that has passed where he's now struggling between just kind of getting used to this and accepting it and becoming Mari in a way. Because we still don't know where Mari is, her consciousness. But I'm not hating it. I was never hating it, but now I'm kind of liking it. I'm interested to see where it's going from here. It's on Crunchyroll, the manga app, so yeah, that's worth checking out. I mean, if you are a Crunchyroll subscriber, I don't even know if, I think you can read most of the manga without being a Crunchyroll subscriber. You just can't read the current things. I don't know. I think there's more restrictions on that, though, that part of Crunchyroll. But that's worth checking out. A few indie games to talk about. First on the docket is Hand of Fate, which is $24.99 regular price. It's available on Steam, PSN, Xbox Live. I picked it up because it is the current free with games with gold game of the month. Probably just the first half. I think that's how it works. And the funny thing about this game is that I was always excited about it. I was looking forward to it. It sounded like a game for me. And I was always just waiting for it to go on sale because $25 seemed like a lot. And now it's free. So if they ever put it on sale, I probably would have picked it up for even 33% off, which for me and my cheapness, that's saying something. But now I don't have to worry about it. And that's a good thing because it's not the greatest game. It has some interesting ideas, but it's not super hot. It feels a lot like a solo tabletop card game, though you have a dungeon master in a way. There's a story mode and an endless mode. So I've only played the story mode. And all you really do is you have a deck of cards. The dungeon master has his deck of cards, and he places them out on the table, and then you get to choose your path that you walk. You put your pawn on the piece. And the card will be flipped over. It could be anything from a merchant. Maybe some trolls have robbed you, or they'll be abandoned, encountering, and you'll have to attack them, or you can choose to try and escape, or maybe you can give them your gold, etc. There are all these different counters, and what you're trying to do is find the stairs to the next level until you reach the final level, where then you'll fight the boss of that particular deck. And the problem with the game is that the idea behind it all is fine. The animation on the cards especially, awful. It's not that bad looking when you get into combat, but when you get into combat, the controls are just really super janky. It's not fluid at all. It feels very stiff. I felt like there was a bit of locking up too, where it would just kind of stop, or it would just like stutter a little bit. And yeah, it tries to be like Batman or any of those combat systems with a heavy reliance on parrying and dodging, but it feels like an incredibly subpar version of it. And yeah, I mean, for free, there's no reason not to pick it up if you have an Xbox One and a gold membership. I mean, why wouldn't you? But I would say to go in with lower expectations, though I think most people didn't have high expectations for it or even any expectations at all. It was a surprise to see it for free, and that was a nice surprise, but after playing it, it's just a very, very average game. It's a game with some interesting ideas that they didn't really make good contact. They hit a foul ball. They made contact. They didn't swing and miss, but they didn't hit it in the field. I realized at that point, I'm starting to lose what I know of baseball terminology because I haven't watched baseball in forever. I was like, what is it, in the infield? Is that how? I don't know. I know it's a foul ball, and then it's a fair ball. That's it. This is not a fair game. It's a foul game. That makes it sound way worse than it actually is. It's fine. I mean, I would not pay $25 for it, though. So get it when it's on sale or for free. The other game I played is Dinocide, which is on Steam. It's $9.99 Steam Play, so Mac, Windows, Linux. And it is a game that it's a platformer, and it really wants to just is heavily inspired by Mario and all those type of games. Feels a lot like, in a way, just visually sort of, Super Mario Bros. 2, which should be great because that's my favorite Mario game. I said it, and I meant it, and I'm not saying it with a joke in my stomach or my heart. I mean it. I love Super Mario Bros. 2. I'm serious, though. I really do love that game. The problem with Dinocide is that it's not good. Not at all. The jumping doesn't feel good. The visuals, you know, it's the whole, oh, let's do 8-bit, but it doesn't look good. The music is not that great. It's just very average, typical. I find the gamepad controls are weird. I don't like the way they're set up. And then every time you reset them and change them up, you have to quit out of the game because then the menu just sort of locks up and won't let you select anything. Even if you move to keyboard and mouse, it just kind of was like, well, I don't, well, you changed everything, but close the game and reopen it, which was annoying because I was messing around with it for a few times. But the thing I didn't like is that when you change the in-game controls for the game itself, it also changes the controls for menu navigation. So I wanted to change jumping to the A button, but the A button is not... The A button counts for like a special move or something, and also for menu navigation, so like selecting stuff. But if I change that, then whatever I bind to the special move becomes the select button, and it just... I don't like that. So that was a bit annoying. There were a few times when I fell through the geometry. So I'd be going on a platform that was moving up and down, and then my little caveman would just slip through. And the controls are just stiff overall. I just was pretty disappointed with it. But it is very Mario. I mean, you have a giant turtle that you don't get on the giant turtle. The giant turtle steals your cave lady. And this is a giant turtle. This is like a, I don't know, mountain-sized turtle. So this turtle would whoop Bowser's behind. But, you know, the cave lady is in another cave. That's probably how it's going to end. The cave lady is in another cave. Go find her. If that is actually how it ends, then I would not be surprised. Not that I know. And then you also have dinosaurs you can ride, like Yoshi, but everything, you know, is more realistic in that it's just aping the real world and not this fantastical world with these more cartoony creatures. It's just a pretty disappointing game. What wasn't disappointing was The Bug Butcher, which is also a Steam Play game, $7.99, and it is a arcade-esque shooter. You play this exterminator, I guess, who's going into this lab or whatever, and you have to just destroy all the bugs in each level. There are 5 total areas, and they're broken. Each area is broken up into 5 levels, and the 6th level, well, they're broken up into 6 levels. The first 5 take place in the area, and then the 6th one takes place in the elevator, and then you can't get weapon crates and whatnot when you're riding the elevator, so it, you know, tries to make it a little bit tougher. But the thing about the game that was a bit frustrating at first, but it makes sense for the game, the way it's set up, it is fine. You can only shoot upwards. And I was confused about it at first because I'm pretty sure the game told me when shooting that I should aim upwards. I should move the analog stick upwards to aim up. And I was doing that, and then I let go and I was like, he's still shooting up. Am I, can I ever shoot sideways? But no, you can't. It looks nice. It sort of has that behemoth look to it. If y'all like that, I mean, if you don't like that, then you might not like the way the Bug Butcher looks, but the game's fun. It's simple. It has good, solid combat. There's a bit of volleying to the way, the enemies, some of them, not all of them, interact with the bullets so that if they're falling down, because they kind of bounce around or ricochet off things to make it so that you can kill everything from only being able to shoot upwards. And there's just like this bit of volleying, so it's like a volleyball. You get under something if it's not too heavy, and then you keep shooting it, and you can keep it up in the air for a period of time. You have to protect the scientists on each level, which hasn't been a problem except for the levels that have spiders, which like to use their giant tongue and then grab onto their head and then suck them up, and you can still kill them before they reach the top, but they weren't too problematic. There was one time when I was playing the endless survival mode, which is panic mode in the game, and it got the scientist. I somehow did not realize the scientist was taken, and then it was like, your end has ended, because the scientist just had his head bit right off. And then, I mean, it's just a nice little game, and $8 is not too bad for it. It can maybe get a bit repetitive. But you can also play it co-op, the survival mode, specifically panic mode, but I had fun with it. And then the last game I put some time into, not that much. I played through the first 2 chapters. It's Klaus on PS4. It's $19.99. It'll be coming to Mac and Windows at a later date, I think in the spring. I think in a few months. I think it was like March, so... look forward to that if this sounds interesting. But it's a very pretty game. Kind of has a cutout look to it all. Very, very red. So if you don't like the color red, you're going to hate Klaus. And it has nothing. It's K-L-A-U-S. Don't think of Santa Claus. Don't call it Claus and think there's going to be Santa in it. But you might be treated to something. No, that's trick or treat. What does he do? He'll give you some presents and maybe fill your stocking. You won't get any coal in this game. But it's a fun little puzzle game. The controls are nice and tight for the most part. It has this cool self-aware text narration as you're progressing through levels where Klaus is talking to you and constantly asking why you won't talk back to him. He's like, I want to have a deep conversation with you. I appreciate that you're helping me with things, but could you maybe, you know, talk to me too? Give me some feedback. Because you control Klaus and he just basically jumps and can sprint. But you have to then use the touchpad to just kind of highlight over certain objects in the world to control them. Specifically like platforms, which then can raise Klaus or block projectiles that would hurt him, kill him, or to move keys around and stuff like that. So it's fairly basic so far, but I'm enjoying it. The one thing I don't like is that the controller, the whole fact that the controller works with audio, that this is like a horrible train wreck of me getting to this last point. Audio can be piped out of the controller. Y'all may know this. I don't know how many games actually utilize that function, that functionality, but Klaus does, and it's incredibly annoying because all it does, and it's fairly constant, is Klaus's grunting and just overall bleeps and bloops from Klaus. It sort of feels like you're playing the game with Tim Allen, and he's just going, and I find it so annoying. And I know that I could go into the system menu and mute controller sounds altogether, but I don't want to do that because I really liked that functionality in Helldivers, which was an indicator for your weapon and ammo. But in Klaus, it's just so annoying, and you can't change it in-game. So that's just... it's very weird. I don't understand the point of it because it doesn't add anything to the game other than just being annoying. And yeah, I do know that if the game does well, there, and maybe, you know, if it doesn't do well, if they still do it. But I know that there have been talks of a Vita version, and I think a Vita version would be great because the touchpad on the back could actually be used for something, if they don't want to use the touchpad on the front. But either way, I think it would be a great Vita game. So hopefully that happens. But that's all I've played pretty much. The second season of Galavant has come and gone so fast. It's very bittersweet. It was a fantastic season, continuing from the first season with the great self-awareness, the great music, the great characters, the great everything. I realized that what it reminds me a lot of in just tone and the whole self-aware aspect of it all and the quality is Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog, which is my personal favorite thing that Joss Whedon has ever done. He has nothing to do with this, but I adore this show so much, and it's something that was never supposed to happen. I don't think a second season was ever supposed to actually happen, and I'm hoping that happens with season 3, but either way, I'm so happy that we got these two seasons out of the show. It's a fantastic show. If you don't like musicals, I think you could still enjoy it, but if you like musicals, it's so clever and witty and funny and charming. You got your characters that are all great. Galavant, King Richard, Gareth, Madalena, Isabella, Gwyn, Sid, etc. They're just all well portrayed, well realized, and the writing is fantastic. It actually might be my favorite show on TV, and a large part of that might just be because I don't think there are that many great lighthearted, funny shows on TV. I don't watch Modern Family anymore, so I don't know if people really like that. I haven't watched like the thing that won the Golden Globe, that Mozart in the Jungle, the Amazon thing. I like Brooklyn 99. Brooklyn 99. There's only two nines in it, right? But I haven't kept up with it this season. But yeah, Gallivant is just this incredibly refreshing. Like, it almost feels like it shouldn't exist. Like, it doesn't. It's not supposed to exist. But for some weird, wonderful reason, we got it for even more than just a single season. And I hope they release it on Blu-ray at some point, because I would love to purchase a set of it, a complete series of it. Unless there's a third season, then they can hold it off for a little bit more. But if they don't come out with any more new seasons, I hope they release it on Blu-ray. And an actual Blu-ray release, not this Amazon DVD-R nonsense. But yeah, I mean, I don't know what to say about it other than everyone should go out and watch it. It's on Hulu. You don't really need to have seen the first season to enjoy it. You'll miss out on things, but nothing really important, because it's just, it's a show that also I feel like I'm just going to buy the digital versions of both seasons so that I can just watch them all again, because I kind of really want to just watch it from the very beginning all the way through right now. So that's how good it is. It's so good that I just finished the second season, and I finished the first season not that long ago. It took me a while to actually get around to watching it, and I already want to watch it all over again. Very quick show. I think the first season was 8 episodes. This one was 10. They're 20-minute, 22-minute episodes, 24, whatever the standard time is, minus commercials. But yeah, it's an amazing show, and it's so weird looking at the writer, because I think his name's Dan Fogelman, and his resume is incredibly hot and cold. He wrote some weird, like, Christmas. He did the Fred Claus movie, which is the one where Vince Vaughn was Santa Claus's brother. And then he did all the Cars movies. So he did Cars. He wrote Cars 2, and he's writing Cars 3. But then he also did stuff like Crazy Stupid Love and Tangled and Danny Collins, which I haven't seen, but I've heard great things about, and Gallivant. So I'm like, what? I don't understand what's in his head, how he manages to make some of the, like, worst things and then some of the best things at the same time, because Gallivant is amazing. Tangled is maybe my favorite animated movie since, like, Beauty and the Beast. I adore Tangled. I think it's incredibly underrated. And then Crazy Stupid Love was just a wonderful movie with a great cast of characters. Crazy Stupid Love is also something everyone should check out. It's fantastic. And if you're used to Ryan Gosling in the more serious roles, though he seems to be taking on some more comedic roles these days in his upcoming two or three movies, it's definitely worth checking out. It's fantastic. So yeah, go watch Gallivant, buy yourself a copy of Crazy Stupid Love, and watch that, and then buy as many copies of Tangled as you can get, because it's an incredibly, one, it's so beautiful, it's so, the visuals in that are amazing. It's like this combination of 2D and 3D art with a slight watercolor, painterly, not watercolor, but just painterly look to it and sheen to it all. Oh, it's so beautiful. And oh god, Tangled is so good. I'm gonna go watch Tangled. So I'm gonna leave y'all to just listen to the rest of this show while I go watch Tangled. And you can join me if you want. But you have to give me a call and, you know, ask if you can come over. And I'll probably say no, because I don't let strangers into my house. And that will do it for this here episode of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast. I hope y'all enjoyed it and the new format-ish, or the return to old, and the bumpers that were thrown together at the last minute. I hope y'all enjoy those. I might still mess around with them. I particularly like the on. I like them all. I'm not, the movies and TV one is definitely skewed more towards movies, which is somewhat of a problem. Maybe I'll get around to that. But, yeah, I hope you all enjoyed all of that. Once again, I am also your host, Mark Huguenez. Y'all can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, Periscope, My Anime List, Xbox Live, everywhere, Vine, @PXSausage. On PSN, I am the Kush3. That is the KUSH, the number 3. And on Wii U, I am Pixelated Sausage. Is that tied to the 3DS 2? So, like, my Nintendo ID is that now? I can't remember. I don't know how that works because I never use those things. But if you want to add me on there, if that's something you could do, you can do that. The site is, of course, pixelatedsausage.com. The other podcast I do, Pixelated Radio, y'all can find on the site along with this one. And on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, newly kind of, I think, maybe on Player FM that you can use if you want. And, if you haven't already, please do rate and review and subscribe to the shows on iTunes because that really does help out a lot and it would be greatly appreciated. Is there anything else that I really should say? If you want to leave a comment or question about the show, you can do it on the post, you can tweet at me, or you can email the show, psp@pixelatedsausage.com. You can also leave a voicemail, 312-772-5874. And I feel like I'm forgetting something, but I don't know what it is. But you know what? Who cares? That's the end of the show. I hope you all had a lovely week and a lovely day. And I hope that everything continues to be lovely for you and everyone you know and care about. So, bye-bye!